dreamed about you last night, Kathy.
About me?
Yes.
Oh, because I talked so much yesterday, of course. But what did you dream about me?
I'll tell you someday, when you get back to New York.
But at the last moment, Reed tells Kathy after all, in today's episode of Against the Storm. Today we bring you another chapter of Against the Storm, written by Sandra Michael and presented by the makers of Ivory Soap. Say, have you got a stray penny lying around anywhere?
Yep, a penny.
1 cent. Thing that when you got 100 of them, you've got a dollar. Now, arithmetic isn't my strong point, so I don't think I'm going to get mixed up in high finance here. Now, we're going to leave this penny just as it is, right here. I'll put it right here. No adding, no subtracting, no long division, no anything. I just brought it up because I want you to know that this little penny, this little copper fella here, is actually more than you need to wash your dishes 3 times a day with Ivory soap. That's a fact. Ivory costs less than a penny a day for dishwashing. Now, if you've just been downtown shopping for a mink coat or a butler, just forget I said anything. But if you're like me, when you see a penny rolling under a chair, you know, you get right down on your hands and knees and you scoot after it. Well, if you're like that, the fact that Ivory soap is economical for dishwashing is really going to cut some ice with you. And say, listen, the people who make Ivory soap didn't stop here with this less than a penny a day business. Oh, man, they called out the accountants and the research people and they made tests. You know what these tests proved? They proved that it cost less to wash dishes with Ivory soap than with granulated soaps. You know those soaps you use on wash days? Now, maybe that surprises you a little, does it? But it's a fact. It really is. And here's another thing. If you use Ivory soap regularly, every single day for your dishes, it'll help your hands stay soft and smooth. You see, Ivory's a nice, gentle, mild soap. In fact, it's pure enough for a baby skin. So look, why don't you give it a try? Get a couple of large-sized cakes of Ivory soap and use it regularly in your dish pans. You can't find out what using a pure soap like Ivory every day can mean to your hands if you don't try it, can you? Professor Jason McKinley Allen has started work on his new book. He and Mark Scott have secluded themselves for the morning in the professor's study at home. Mrs. Allen has issued orders to Penny and Siri that on no account are the two scholars to be disturbed. Kathy is still in New York. The house is very, very quiet. In the professor's study, he himself is entrenched behind a semicircular mountainous range of books. Mark, in a corner of the room, is sitting at a smaller desk. The windows are open. There isn't much wind, barely enough to stir the drapes. Just enough to make the elm tree boughs lift and sway so gently you have to concentrate to be sure they really are moving. The fat green clusters of lilac leaves on the tall bush outside the middle window are thoughtfully still. Across the garden, a bird called. Very remarkable bird. Farther away, another one answers. What was that? A large brown bird swooping gracefully into the elm tree. Mark, who's been staring out at the green and yellow world, looks over at the professor.
You know, what kind of a bird is that?
Exactly what I was wondering.
Would it be a thrush, do you suppose? Well, do they come as close to the house as that? Well,
sometimes the thrushes might. No. Now look. That tail doesn't belong to any thrush.
A thrasher, that's
oh,
what it is.
Of course. A brown thrasher.
Oh, yeah.
A handsome fellow, isn't he?
Oh, beautiful bird, beautiful.
He's evidently looking for a place to build a nest. He's been flying around from tree to tree for half an hour now.
Yes, he'd better make up his mind, too. Season's well underway.
Oh, there he goes again.
I trust he knows he's welcome to stay.
Oh, I see.
For the past half hour, you say you've been keeping an eye on that fellow's movements?
Mm-hmm. Oh, half an hour at least.
Oh, I was just thinking our production schedule's been pretty heavy this morning.
What? Oh, my God.
I haven't made a note or written a line for the last hour.
Well, it looks very much as if I've been turned to the same page in Plato all morning. Why, this is terrible.
I don't think it is, Mark. Little daydreaming never hurt anyone as far as I know.
God.
You'd better get yourself an assistant who can stick to business.
Oh, but I need more than that. Someone to keep my nose to the grindstone. Never mind. I've had a very pleasant time looking out the window, and I don't intend to regret a moment of it. Who's that? Hello?
It's only I, Margaret.
Yes? Yes, Margaret. What is it?
May I come in? The doctor sent me, please.
Of course, of course. Come in.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Allen.
No, I won't bother you a minute, Jason. I know how busy you both are, but I do have to ask you...
Yes, Margaret, but just one moment, my dear. Mark, before we lose the trend of that idea... what was it you were saying about that portion of David Copperfield you think we ought to include?
David Copperfield? Why, I don't believe that.
Certainly you remember. Mark, the question was, should we or shouldn't we use the paragraph about thrushes versus brown thrashers,
Oh, yes, of course. Well, I gave it a lot of thought, Professor.
So I noticed. Well, we can decide about that later. Now, Margaret... You were saying?
I hate to interrupt like this, but...
Oh, my dear girl, you interrupted nothing more important than a bit of daydreaming.
What? Daydreaming?
That's a fact, Mrs. Allen. Unfortunately...
Nobody has done a line of work for an hour, my dear.
Why, just...
We hope it's not too long until lunchtime now.
Oh, just as if we deserved it.
Yes, I must say. I think I'd better bring my sewing up here and keep the wheels of progress in motion.
Now, Margaret, we really haven't any room in here for more people.
Oh, don't worry, Jason. I'll run along right now. If you'll just tell me what you think we ought to do about dinner tonight.
Dinner? I thought we were driving out to Dover Mill for dinner tonight.
Oh, I know we are. But, Jason, I completely forgot. Marcy's coming home tonight.
Is she? Well, that's fine.
Yes, but, dear, I hate to think of her being here alone for dinner.
Yeah? Alone? Well, nonsense. You go with us, of course.
Professor Allen, our car holds six at the most. We'll be six as it is, with Terry and the three Mackenzies.
Well?
Unless three and three don't make six anymore.
I wonder if they didn't. I have it. Mark, you come along to the mill for dinner.
But now look here.
Of course, that's the way to do it. You come along with your car and you can bring Kathy.
Oh, Jason, that's a splendid idea.
Well, yes, but you hadn't...
Good. It's all settled. Hey, Margaret, will you please leave now and close the door?
Definitely, definitely.
What with you and brown thrushes, we'll never get any work done here. Goodbye, Margaret. Goodbye.
Some time after Kathy's immediate future had been arranged in Hawthorne by Professor Allen, she was standing at the steps of a train in the Pennsylvania Station, New York, talking with Reed Wilson. He'd come down to see her off for Hawthorne.
Do you think I had better enter the train? There is not very much time.
Oh, you've got several minutes. Don't worry. I won't let him go without you. Oh, I'd like to.
Reed, you were so kind to visit us last evening. Grandpa enjoyed it so much, and also the movie. You
couldn't have enjoyed it as much as I did. You know, I don't have any family here, and I enjoy an evening like last night.
Then you must be sure to come and see us often when I come home this summer.
Well, look out now. I'm likely to do that.
Oh, I hope you will, Reed. Well, the train is not going to go.
No. Don't worry. Still have time.
Yes, these people are still arriving quite out of breath.
You know, Kathy, maybe next time you come up to New York, I'll tell you about a dream I had last night.
Oh, but tell me now.
I don't think there's time. Well, anyway, it was about you.
About me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, I talked too much last night, and all my talking was still in your mind.
No. Well, of course, talking to you and seeing you had a lot to do with dreaming about you.
Was it an amusing dream?
Well... I'd say that all depends on the way you look at it.
Are you never going to tell me about it?
I don't know whether I should or not.
No, I must go. But you must remember to tell me when I see you again.
Okay, Kathy. And you better get aboard now.
Yes, goodbye, Reed. And thank you very many times for your great kindness to Grandpa and to me.
Hey, don't be silly. I'm the one who thanks you. Careful now.
Thank you. I wish you were going on the train, too. I think the ride will be pleasant today.
Yes, I do, too. Well, I may hop down and see you some fine day in Hawthorne.
Oh, I hope you will, Reed.
Just take a minute.
Yes.
Gotta close the door.
Yes.
Halfway, though.
Oh, thank you. Well, this is fine.
Yeah,
rainboat
full out,
ma'am. Reed, you should not stand there and wait when you have work to do.
Oh, that's okay. I'm an old handkerchief waver from Indiana, way back. Hey, lean over and I'll tell you something.
Yes, what is it, Reese? Oh, the train is going.
Listen, I dreamed last night that I asked you to marry me.
Reese, what did you say? I couldn't hear.
I say, I dreamed I asked you to marry me.
Oh, Reese, do you think?
Bye, Kathy. It wasn't a dream. I was thinking about it. Will you, Kathy? Will you think about it soon?
Kathy hadn't heard his last words, but she laughed gaily and waved over the door of the train until the porter appeared to close it up. She thought that it was strange to see Reed Wilson, who was always so pleasantly self-assured and not at all wistful, standing alone on the platform. Even he, like all people left behind when a train pulled you away, even he looked somewhat lost and certainly wistful. When she remembered what he'd said, Kathy Reimer stood still in the passageway of the train. Of course he'd been joking. There's a satisfaction in seeing that the details of your daily life run smoothly, isn't there? That's why when it comes to the daily task of dishwashing, so many women are happy about their choice of Ivory soap. They know that washing dishes with a soap that's pure enough for a baby skin is bound to help their hands look nice. They know they can help their hands keep this attractive smoothness by using Ivory regularly, day in and day out. Of course, floating a big pure cake of Ivory in your dishpan every day is a smart thing to do from the point of view of economy, too. It costs less than a penny a day to wash dishes with this pure soap. In fact, it costs less to wash dishes with Ivory soap than with those granulated soaps you use on wash day. Won't you get a supply of those thrifty large-size cakes today and see for yourself how nice Ivory helps your hands look.
Hi, Kathy. I was beginning to be afraid you weren't on the train after all. I come down to fetch you for dinner.
Me for dinner? Why, Mark.
Well, don't blame me. It's all the professor's fault. Oh, is this your luggage, Kathy?
Kathy wished it had been Mark's idea. But it soon doesn't matter because it turns out to be a very pleasant evening. And so it does also out in Arizona in tomorrow's episode of Against the Storm. This is Ralph Edwards saying good day for the makers of Ivory Soap and Ivory Flakes. Ivory Flakes are Ivory Soap in quick dissolving flake form. So if you use that big blue box of Ivory Flakes for dishwashing, you give your hands the protection of the same famous ivory purity you get in Ivory Soap. 99 and 44, 100% pure. It floats. Friends, the program that follows next on this same station is one that I'm sure you're all familiar with, The Guiding Light. So if you've enjoyed hearing Against the Storm today, won't you stay tuned in? The Guiding Light will come to you in just a few seconds. This is the National Broadcasting Company.